Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh on this lovely Motzei Shabbat, is daf Lamed Hey, and we're at the Halakha Mishnah. And as we mentioned on Erev Shabbos, remember that all of the dinim of Achila are related to Pesach, and that's in terms of Kutchim and in terms of Truma and in terms of the generally Surya Achila, and as we will see, the entire Pesach being defined by levels of achila is another reason why the dinim of matzah and chometz are profoundly interrelated, because Pesach is actually built of the interrelationship between the two in terms of the mitzvahs, as we'll see as we go along. So, even though on the surface we seem to have switched gears over here, because we've been talking about what to do with your chometz and what chometz is aser and aser banah and so on, as it will turn out, there is a profound connection between what is kosher for matzah and what is aser for chometz. And so, elu devarim sha'adam yotzei b'hem yedei chovato b'pesach. So here are the only kinds of grains that a person would be able to be yotzei his chiyav of achilas matzah, which of course is only on the first night of Pesach. Okay, so we've got, again, these are like the normal translations on which has been accepted la halacha by everybody. There were a lot of discussions over the generations about the correct identification of these species. I'm just going to take it as it's generally accepted. So we have wheat, we have chitim, which is wheat, se'orim is barley, kusmin is spelt, shifon is rye, shibolet shu'al is oats, which I find a little bit strange, because I think if there's the one grain that does not resemble a foxtail, shibolet shu'al means the foxtail grain. So it's oats, but okay, I don't know. V'yotzim b'dmai, and you would be yotzei this chiyav. Now, this is a gemara that we've had four times. This is the fourth time we've had this so far this year. So it ought to be awfully familiar. We're going to go through again the various issues about Demai and Maisa Rishon, that you took Truma. You remember the question is, well, if you took Truma, obviously what would be wrong with it? And we're talking about that you only took the Truma's Maisa, not the Maisa. And it was a question of when you got down to the field to take it before it became Chayev in Truma. I'm sure you remember all of this. Maisa Sheni Vagdish and Niftu, again, is not a chiddush that your yotzei, unless there was something wrong with the pidyon, and that's exactly what we go through, whether a chomesh is ma'akiv, stuff like that. Okay, we'll get all of this. We're going to go through the whole sugya again, but it should be second nature to you now, like breathing out and breathing in. Anyway, the kohen, so a kohen could be yotzei with matzah as mutter ba'achila, even if it's challah or if it's truma, and it doesn't matter that it's not mutter to everyone else. Avalo b'tevel, again, I mean, okay, you can't be yotzei with tevel, which is aser b'achila and is a chi of meiser. Avalo b'chi of misa, I mean. Avalo b'maaser rishon shelo nitla trumatom. And all these things seem to be rather clear. And you wouldn't be able to be yotzei with meiser rishon that is not kosher, because you didn't take off the truma. Again, isn't that obvious? Avalo b'maaser sheni v'hegde shelo nivdu, which again is not yours at all to be yotzei with. So, okay, we're going to see in the Gemara again. Now, how about the chalot of a todah? The chalot of a todah ought to be perfectly kosher, because remember, they are made out of matzah, and you have to be very careful that it's the same species. I mean, it's made out of wheat, and it has to be absolutely clear of chametz. So it ought to be perfectly good if you use it to be yotzei your matzah. Same thing would be true about the nazir, who has to bring his rikikin. The rikikin would mamash be like matzahs, the kind of things that we use as matzah. And he brings this with his el nazir. So like, what's the question? For sure you ought to be yotzei, right? But as it turns out, it depends. If you made them for yourself, but you cannot be yotzei with them. So in other words, if you're going to use them for your own carbon, then you can't use them. But if you use them, you made them in order to be selling them, maybe for people who wanted them for a carbon, and nobody bought them, so then you could be yotzei, which is very strange. And the Gemara, of course, is going to ask, what in the world, what difference does it make why you made them? So then, you could be Yotze with them. Says the Gemara, just to identify these species, says in a Braita, Kusmim, which we translated as spelt, is a type of subspecies that's related, maybe not a subspecies, but it's related to the same family as wheat is, while Shibar Chul and Shifon, which we translated as oats and rye, are considered to be a type or members of the same family as Saurin, which is barley. So this would be Nogea, the question of you're only allowed, according to Rashi, you're only allowed to be taking truma and meisers from min al mino, but if it's something that's a different species, then you wouldn't be able to take it. Tosis learns that the question over here is legabi, the actual chiev of the shear of challah. Are these things mitstarev? If they're different minim, are they mitstarev when they were made separately as challah? Okay, anyway, now, what's important to us is to figure out where this comes from. Why would we only be yotze on Pesach with matzah that was made out of these kinds of grains? I mean, there's all types of grains. I mean, what about rice? Why couldn't you make your matzah out of rice, for instance? So, hani'in, dafka, these things, but oras v'dochana is tremendous machlokasin over the doros. Basically, it's been accepted almost by all that orez is what we call rice, and dochan is what we call millet, and you cannot, even though you can make perfectly good flour from these things, you cannot make kosher matzah out of it. Now, how do we know that? We know anyway. Omer Reb Shimon ben Lakish, v'chein tona devei Reb Yishmael, v'chein tona devei Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. This is a very foundational concept in Pesach, that chometz and matzah have to come from the same source. So therefore, when the Torah says, Lo tochal alav chamet shivat yamim tochal alav matzot, basically, that is telling me that the chometz and the matzah are from the same thing, and they can either be chometz or matzah. So that means that only things that we can identify as ba'im lidei chimutz, so that means that if I'm able to ferment them with yeast in such a way that they become what we call chometz, and they don't just spoil. I mean, lots of things when they're exposed to yeast, they just sort of get rotten and stink, and they don't really puff up in a good way. So only those things that are boim lidei chimutz can you use to make matzah. But you can't use rice or millet flour, because if you actually try to let those sit around and expose them to microorganisms, they will not become proper chometz. They just sort of spoil. So elo lidei sirachon. And that means that we're able to identify which things are kosher for matzah based on experimenting with them and seeing if they come lidei chimutz. Now, that means our Mishnah is definitely not like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's famous shita is that actually rice is a kind of grain. And if you would eat it on Pesach and it would be chometz, you'd be chayav koras, just like regular chometz of anything else. So according to him, it should be perfectly all right to be eating matzah made out of rice. And in fact, it says in the Braita de Tanya, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri oser, ba'orez v'dochan b'pnei shekarov lachmitz. He says you can't make food on Pesach using either Orez or Dochan, because these things are very close to chimutz. Now, I mean, there's two ways to understand that. Very close could mean they quickly become chametz. In other words, you can't handle them because the moment they're exposed to water, they're going to become chametz. That would be in Dekadimu Machmitz. Or maybe Karov Lachmitz means that they're not real chametz, but they're close to being chametz. So that would mean that they would be the equivalent of what we'll see later on is called a chometz nukshe, which is a lower class of chometz. And it's not chayav koras, but it would still be usser. We're going to get into that sugya later. So he might mean one or the other. Which one does it mean? Well, we just saw what he means, tashma. Remember the braita. The braita says, Amr b'yochanan nuri, Orez min daganu v'chayavina chimutzo karet. That means it's 100% chometz. It's not chometz nuksha. You're chayav kores for it. And adam yotzei bo yedei chovato b'pesach. And therefore, by the same token, if you made matzah for it, so then that would mean there would be no problem and you would be able to eat the matzah that's made out of it. And there's no difference between eating matzah made out of rice and matzah made out of wheat. And another interesting thing that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said about grains is that he said keramit is a type of grain that you'd have to take off challah from, because it's also considered to be grain. And Lomaisa, the Gemara says, only the type of tvua that is chayev dogon, I should say, that is chayev in that is kosher for matzah, is chayev in challah. So that's really weird. What is keramit? Abaye says, you know what that is? It's shitsanita. I do. What is shitsanita? Says Rav Papa, shitsanita is the thing that's michtakha beni kalanita. Sounds very Spanish, you know. So these are basically, I mean, Rashi learns that it is fennel, essentially, which has become quite popular lately as a ketzach, and the crackers that are just rolled, they sprinkle them with ketzach, and they have a very yummy, sharp taste. And they make bread with ketzach here. So he learns that ketzach is an actual type of grain. Okay, so then it's clear that he holds that it would be chametz gomer. All right, now, it's interesting that there's a tzad to say that this works in both directions. Here's the interesting question. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana quotes Rish Lakish as saying that if you make dough out of, instead of mixing it with water, you mix it, let's say, with wine or with oil or with honey. So then if you let that become chametz, you would not be chayev koras for eating that chametz. Okay, so here is the very cute possibility of the inversion of the chametz matzah interrelationship that we just had. So what happened was, Yossi Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, and they were sitting there in front of Rav Yidi Bar Ravin. Now this happens often, as you'll remember. And Rav Yidi Bar Ravin was always taking a little bit of a schnooze, and he would sleep with his ears half open while the Talmidim would talk to each other. And then when they made total fools of themselves, he would wake up and he would say, Kindalach, come on. Okay, so anyway, so we're prepared. We know what's going to be happening. And they were sitting around. Rav Yidi Bar Ravin was sitting there, and he's dozing off. So Rav Huna Bered Rav Yehoshua says to Rav Papa, what would be the reason that Rish Lakish would say that just because you made something out of wine or oil, that it's not considered to be regular chametz? Omar Lehi, so Rav Papa said, well, this is the inverse of the din that we just learned. Since it says, lo tochal alav chametz shivas yamim tochal alav matzot. So then that basically makes a connection between the matzah and between the chametz. So I say, let's take it this direction. Only something that you could be yotze matzah with is something that you would be chayev on chametz with. But over here, you cannot be yotze your matzah on the night of Pesach. Why? Because the Torah says lechem oni. The lechem oni means that it's sort of a poor man's bread. And if you make it with these kinds of like very expensive ingredients, honey and oil and wine, so then that's called matzah ashira. Matzah ashira means it's rich man's bread, not poor man's bread. And therefore, it's not lechem oni. And ein chayavin achimutso karet. So Rav Huna Bered Rav Yehoshua asked Rav Papa, and he said, how can you say that that's the reason? It doesn't make any sense. Because if that's the reason, how do we explain the following price? It says over here, if you were him chohu gma'o, so you went ahead and you took what would have been good matzah and you basically let it dissolve into water and then you drink it on Pesach. So what's the din? So if it was not kosher matzah, it was regular chametz and it's now liquid chametz, you'd be chayev koras. But if it's matzah, you will not be yotzei your chiyav of matzah, because after all, the Torah says, tochlu matzot, and this is not tochlu matzot, not drinking matzah. So because of that, you obviously are wrong, because you said that the two are interdependent. If something is not good for matzah, then it's not going to be mechayev you for chametz, right? Isn't that what you said? So over here it says, not like that. It says, here you've got something, it's no good for matzah because it's a liquid, but it is good for chametz, and it's going to be mechayev you karas. So you see from here that halacha de'ein adam yotzei yedei chovato in terms of matzah on Leil Pesach, but chayavin achimutso karet. And that was the moment, of course, the Ravidi Baravin suddenly wakes up. Oh, gosh, I can't believe these kids. He says to the kids, hey, boys, Dardike, man, are you guys off? I mean, this is nothing like what you're saying. The reason that Rish Lakish says that you're not chayav is totally different. The reason you're not chayav karas is because fruit juices of any kind, there are broader sets of fruit juices, which means all types of sweet liquids, including even honey of bees that we're talking about over here. Oil is fruit juice. Obviously, wine is really fruit juice. Any type of fruit juice is not capable of creating chametz. So, mei perot ein machmitzin, and because of that, then obviously they are really not going to be kosher because they are not shayach again to being the matzah. So you can't make the idea over here is you wouldn't be able to make kosher matzah of it for. Not only because of that, and because of that, it isn't real chametz. There's a big machlokas, as I'm sure you all know, about what this means. And that's the famous question of the yummy chocolate-covered egg matzahs. Are you or are you not allowed to eat yummy chocolate-flavored egg matzahs? So that all is a function of this sugya. This sugya gives rise to many, many different approaches. So Rashi's approach is that, look, it's not real chametz, but it's chametz nuksha. So that means that it's usher to eat it, and it's a machlokas whether it's usher to eat b'rabbanan and chametz nuksha m'diraisa. That we'll get to when we get to the sugya of chametz nuksha. But you're not chayav karas for eating it, but you're certainly not allowed to go eat it. However, as is brought over here in the Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam actually used to eat chocolate covered egg matzahs. Well, not exactly, but something like it anyway. And he would eat these egg matzahs on Erev Pesach after the Zmana Isser because he figured, okay, look, you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, but that's only the kind of matzah that we would use to be Yotzi Yerchiev. Since you can't use this to be Yotzi Yerchiev, so I can have a nice yummy meal out of matzah that isn't matzah. So there you go. So he obviously held that it was mutter even l'chatchila, and in fact, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that way for Sfardim. Of course, the Ramah throws in his hatchet and says, no, we have to be machmir. The Rambam holds, there's also other sub-machlokas in over here, and that is the question of, what about if there was a bit of water mixed in with the egg? So that's already an excuse for being machmir. But the Rabbeinu Tam holds, that if you don't have mostly water, then you definitely don't have real chametz, although some hold that it's usher. The Rambam holds, once you were machmetz it in this way, nothing's going to happen. It'll never become chametz, even if you add water to it later. So certainly, theoretically, if you were just machmetz only with these things, then according to most of the shitas, it should be kosher to eat, even on Pesach, and the Sfaradim, in fact, are Mekalon, and the Ashkenazim are only matir for people who are unable to digest regular matzah, so we're matir that for children or for people who are ill, and so on. But even then, we make it with, I mean, you're going to love this one, we make it with all the chumras of real matzah. 18 minutes, the whole jazz, right? So you'll say, okay, so you can't go wrong. So I understand. So what could possibly wrong with eating? What could go wrong with eating egg matzahs, of course, from the Ashkenazi point of view, is that if you bring in May Paris and there's any water there, then it makes it even chametz faster than if we would have not had the May Paris, obviously. So anyway, it's overs, no matter where you look. Fortunately, there are still good Sfardim in the world. All right. Anyway, the Rambam would look at you askance. Oh, my God. All righty. Good. Okay. Continues now. Let's get on to the next list of all of the various things. You're allowed to use demai. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? How can you use demai if the demai itself is usher? And we'll see that we're going to learn out, basically, that if you eat something that is usher anyway, so then you're not going to be yotzei from the lo tochal alav chametz shivas yamim Tochal alav matzot, that same pasuk is that if something would be mutter to eat only usher because it would be chametz, then you can use it as matzah. We're going to turn out. But if it's usher anyway, then you can't use it as matzah. So how can you be yotzei with the mind, since it's not roi for you? Because kiven diyboi mifkar lenichse havi ani v'ochel demai hashlanar mechazi. So as we've seen many times, demai is considered to be roi for anyone because it's in his hand to be able to eat demai at a moment's notice. All he has to do is give away everything he owns, and then he's poor. And if he's poor, aniyim are allowed to eat demai because it says in the Mishnah in demai, ma'achilita ta'aniyim. Demai, you're allowed to give poor people demai. And you can feed soldiers demai. It's machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether we're talking about Jewish soldiers or going to Tosfos, we're talking about goyish soldiers, or the problem is you're not allowed to pay up your debts, utilizing things that are meiser, tevel, and that's what you would be doing. Okay, but in any event, the rabbanim were not geyser in these circumstances for demai, because remember, the klal is that demai is not a suffix d'oraisa, because rov amei aretz are ma'asrin. Demai is a special takana that forces us to be machmir, where otherwise we would not be machmir. So the Rabbanon, because of that, we're very makel in certain cases. It's okay, we're not going to be gozer in this kind of case. So here, this is one of those cases where if anyway you're coming to do a social service, or anyway you're being really ripped off by the government and forcing you to lose a lot of money, the Rabbanon are not gozer on that also. And this is according to Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, well, in a bright, it says not everybody agreed to that. That's Beis Hillel. But the fact is, Beit Shammai holds it. Ein machilin etaniyim demai v'tachsanai demai. And Beit Hillel omrin machilin. Obviously, we paskin like Beit Hillel. Now, then the Mishnah says you're allowed to make matzah out of Maaser Rishon if you took off truma. What is that supposed to mean? Pshita, obviously. I mean, Maaser Rishon, it took off truma as regular food. When it says it took off its truma, it means it took off the truma's meiser. So, obviously, if nita trumato, then that is 100% regular chulin. That's just simple food. Why wouldn't I be able to make matzah? Aha. And again, as we've seen so many times, that means that you only took off the truma's meiser, and you did not take off real truma, truma gedola. How is that possible? Because what happened over here is that this Levi went down and was mocked him in Shibolim. He got people to give him the Maaser Rishon while the Shibolim are still not processed. So the grain is still in the ear of the grain. And you're not chayev on Truma until it's dug on. But you are chayev on Maaser. So because of that, if you took off the Maaser Rishon, and then that Levi took off from that Meiser, Truma's Meiser, and then you complete it, you'll never have to take Truma Gedola from it, as we'll see from the pasuk. So he gets away with a little bit extra stuff because he's able to get the whole thing, which is the 10% of the total instead of 10% after taking off the Truma. And in this case, lo nitlai mena Truma Gedola, and you would have thought that, well, so then it's also for me to eat because it's still Tevel, because we didn't take off the Truma Gedola. No, it is actually an interesting case where you don't need to take off the Truma Gedola, as Rabbi Abo explained. The Omer Rabbi Abo, Omer Esh Lakish, Maaser Rishon Shekdimo B'Shibolim. If you went down and you got it while the grain is still unprocessed and it's in the ears, it's potter mi truma gedola. Why? Because it says v'hare motam mimenu trumat Hashem ma'aser mina ma'aser. Wow, that's weird. We are now identifying the trumat Hashem as a tenth of a tenth. So then that means that is the entire trumat Hashem. I'm telling you, ma'aser mina ma'aser amarti lecha. I'm telling this Levi to take off exactly 10% of the 10% that was given him and not to find it necessary to make up the difference by also taking off the Truma Gedola plus the Truma's Maaser Min HaMaaser. So Rav Papa said to Abaya, so then if that's the case, basically the Torah is saying that it's not the Levi's business to take off Truma Gedola. So then if somebody gives a Levi Maaser, It's not his business. If the guy didn't take off Truma, why does it say that it's only if he came down and the grain was still in the ears? And if it wouldn't be in the ears, where do you see from this pasuk there's a difference between higdimo b'shibolim or not higdimo b'shibolim? Where do you get that from? So then, afilo higdimo b'krinamili pater. And if he comes to the completely finished stack of grain where everything has been processed and you've smoothed it out and it's chayev and truma 100%, why is it any difference? The Torah said, trumat Hashem is maser min ha-maser. You can't just define that as one particular case. Omar le, so Abaye said to Rav Papa, it's because of guys like you who are so smart that the Torah puts in an additional pasuk. Alecha, it's because of you that the pasuk had to say, Mikol matnotechem tarimo et kol trumat Hashem. So from every single thing that you, Levi, get as a gift, a matana, make sure you take out every last bit of the trumas that have to be taken off, truma gedola and trumat maaser. So obviously there's two separate cases, one of which is b'chayiv you the whole jazz, and one that's b'chayiv you only to take off maaser min maaser. So, okay, how do you know which is which? Umara ita. Well, it makes sense, right? Hai idgin. I mean, the one that's already in the kri was mechuyav in truma at the time that he got it, so it's reasonable that that's the one that he would have to make up for the truma that was missing. V'hai lo idgan, whereas the one that is still not processed, so over there, you don't have to worry about it. Okay, the next thing in the Mishnah was that if you to eat matzah that you made from Meiser Sheni or Hegdesh, that you went ahead and you were Peda, you'd be Yotzei. I should hope so. I mean, what do you mean? This is just plain chulin. Why in the world wouldn't I be Yotzei? What's the Havamina? Aha. We're talking about that you were Poda it, but you weren't Poda it completely. What did I do wrong? We're talking about a case where you are the owner, and remember, when the owner does his own pinyan, he has to take off an additional 25%, which is 20% of the total. That's the chomesh. And he didn't. He only gave the actual value of the principal that equals the value of what it is that he's being poda. So kamash malam, that is the point of the Mishnah. You shouldn't think that until you give the chomesh, the pidyon isn't chal. No, the pidyon is chal. I mean, you owe the chomesh, but the pidyon is chal. It's am akiv. Then the next thing the Mishnah says is, koyanim are allowed to eat matzah that's made out of challah and truma. I mean, why not? They're allowed to eat challah and truma. So, pshita. Well, you might have thought that the way that the Torah talks about matzah is it keeps talking about all of Yisrael bringing a korban pesach and so on. I mean, you might think that the matzahs that you eat have to be shaveh l'chol adam b'inan. I mean, only matzah that anybody would be able to eat. I mean, if you're going to limit it and I can't join you to eat these matzahs, so maybe that is not the matzah that can be eaten with the korban pesach and can be shared with anybody. And therefore, we need to know that the reason that we find again and again the word, the Torah never uses them or it. There's no pronouns for matzahs. Every single time we refer to matzahs, we repeat again, matzahs. And therefore, the matzot that occur multiple times is a ribui. And that means even matzah that's not kosher for everybody, but only kosher for the individual who's eating it, is also good matzah for him. Okay, then we said the things you cannot use for matzah. You can't use tevel. Well, of course you can't use tevel. We already saw that if something isn't kosher, then you're not able to be yotzei with it. Not to mention the fact that there's another issue, of course, that we'll bring up later, which is called mitzvah haba b'avera. Now, mitzvah haba b'avera means if you're going to try to be yotzei mitzvah by doing an avera, you're not yotzei. The thing is that there's a machlokes about whether that itself is only a drabana. So, I mean, the Gemara is going to want to find another basis passage for it. We'll see. But anyway, so if tevel is usher, isn't it clear that you can't make matzah from it? Well, this means even something that really wasn't tevel. It was only tevel because the Rabbanan said, look, we want you to take off trumas and mice. Let's say a guy plants grain in a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in the bottom, right? So that's called an otichein onakuv. And that does not really draw nourishment from the ground. And therefore, it is not chayev and trumas and maisers. So you might have thought, okay, so if I make my matzah out of that, So, and I didn't take off Trumas HaMaaser. So that's not Ma'akev the Matzah, Kamash Malan, since the Rabbanan consider that to be the same as normal grain, so that it has all of the dinim of normal Teva. Same thing is true about Lo B'Maaser Rishon Shelo Nitla Trumato, and you can't use Maaser Rishon where you didn't take off Trumas Maaser. Well, isn't that obvious? I didn't take off. Is that what it means? Lo Nitla Trumato? No. What it's talking about over here is where what he did was Lo Tzricha Sheigdimo Bekri. Is he talking about Dafka, the case we raised the issue before? And Rav Papa said to Abaya, well, what's the difference whether you go down when it's B'shibolim, when it's in the ears, or when it's already processed? This is talking about that he went ahead and he did take it after it was processed, and he took out Trumas Meiser, but he didn't take off Truma Gedola. That's what it means. So you might have thought that Rav Papa's point that he made to Abaye, which is, look, the Torah says that Trumat Hashem is Maaser min HaMaaser, and he took off Maaser min HaMaaser. What do you care if he took off Truma Gedola or not, just because he came at a point where it was already in the Kri, which is what Rav Papa had asked Abaye. Therefore, the Mishnah is coming along to teach us that actually that is wrong, and that what is correct is what Abaye answered Rav Papa. And that because of Mikol Matnotechem Torimu et Kol Trumat Hashem, we know that if you got it at a point where it's already high of Truma Gedola, you need to make sure that you take off that Truma Gedola. Okay, next thing in the Mishnah. V'lo b'maaser sheni v'hegdash shelo nivdu. Well, that's also obvious, right? I mean, it's Kodesh, and it's Osir Bachila. So how in the world would I think that I was allowed to eat it? Why do I have to say it in the Mishnah? Ah, again, as you'll recall, it doesn't mean shelo nivdu at all. It means she nivdu, but they weren't nivdu properly. So when it says lo nivdu, it means shelo nivdu ki hilchatan. You didn't do it properly. So Maaser Sheni, you used an asimon. An asimon is something that is just a slug. It doesn't have any kind of tzura that was minted on it. And the Torah says, Vitsarta bekesa. Vitsarta has a double meaning, because it means, obviously it means to hold it tight in your hand, but it could also mean Vitsarta davar sheyesh lo tzura. It has to have a minted image on it and not just be a piece of metal. So you can't use that. And Hegdash is talking about where you tried to be paid to it by using karka. Where the Torah says, it has to be something that can be given from hand to hand. And here he tried to be put it on real estate. And real estate is not a proper pidyon. And even b'niavad, you wouldn't be able to eat it. So basically, I mean, the Mishnah is saying that anything that you can't eat, you cannot be yotzei matzah. So turn around. You might think that a person could be yotzei his chova of matzah with tevel that has not been fixed. What do you mean tevel that has not been fixed? That's what tevel means. The word tevel means, by definition, it wasn't fixed, right? If it's fixed, so then it's called nitkan, so then it's not tevel. What in the world do you mean by kol tevel nami olo nitkan? That's the meaning of the word tevel. No, I mean that you have tevel that wasn't fully fixed. Because remember, I mean, basically, you're going to have to take off truma, and then you're going to have to take off meiser, and you're going to have to take off truma's meiser. You're going to have to take off meiser sheni, and you're going to have to take off meiser ani. So, I mean, there's degrees of tevel, right? And, I mean, these are important degrees, because if you didn't take off the truma components, so then you're going to be chayiv misa if you eat the tevel. If you didn't take off the meiser components, you're over on the law for eating the tevel. So, I mean, you might think that maybe if you took off truma gedola, but you didn't take off Trumas Meiser, or maybe you didn't even take off the Meiser Risha in the first place, that it wasn't even a Trumas Meiser Chiyuv, you didn't take off Meiser Sheni. And even if it was a year of Meiser Ani, and you didn't take off Meiser Ani, which is like regular food, it has no specific dinim on it, Meiser Sheni, at least if you go up to Yerushalayim, eat in Yerushalayim, and as the Kedusha of Meiser Sheni, even Meiser Ani, if you don't take off Meiser Ani, it doesn't mean you have to give the Meiser Ani, mind you, but you'd have to take it off, be mafreshit. So you might think that you could be Yotze. So how do we know no level of teva whatsoever can be used for creating a matzah? We know that because it says, Lo tochal alav chametz. It's the same pasuk that says, don't eat these for 7 days, shivas yom tochal alav matzot. So from here we learn that if you have a problem because, and only because is what we're assuming, that the isser of eating it is because of Baal Tochal Alav Chametz, so then you can go ahead and you can eat it for matzah. But in this case, even if it wouldn't be Baal Tochal Chametz, you're not allowed to eat it because it says Baal Tochal Teva. And what is that supposed to mean? I understand. It, just because it's Teva doesn't mean it's not Chametz. I mean, where does it say exclusively? Does it say exclusively? It says anything that would otherwise be usher, if it was allowed to be chametz, you can't eat, so that you can use, if it didn't become chametz, to eat matzah. Well, where does it say that that's the only issue that would be involved in chametz? I mean, are you telling me that once it became tevel, it's not chametz? Or if it starts off as tevel, then it's not chametz? Where did the issue of chametz disappear to? Rav Sheshes, yes, the issue of chametz didn't disappear. It never happened. Because this is going according to Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says, Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. So once the Isur of this grain is Tevel, and then it comes to be Pesach and it turns into Chametz, you're not going to be over on eating the Chametz because it was already Usur to eat because it was Tevel. So in this case, the Pusik actually would not apply because the Pusik is saying that for Shiva's Yomim, don't eat chametz and eat matzah. So, okay, over here, there's no problem of eating chametz on it. It's the problem of eating tevel. And I'll show you where Rabbi Shimon says that. Rabbi Shimon said, this is the famous statement of Rabbi Shimon, that if you eat a nevela on Yom Kippur, you don't have to bring a korban chatas. Why? Because nevela is only an iser lav. And the korban chatas that you would have to bring would be for eating on Yom Kippur, which is an Isser Karis. But according to Rabbi Shimon, you were not over on eating on Yom Kippur. Why? Because the Isser of eating on Yom Kippur never took place because what you ate was Usser anyway. And it was Usser as Nevelos. You see from there that the halacha is that Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. By the way, when did it become a nevela? That is not clear. Now, it actually turns out that even if it became a nevela on Yom Kippur, well, you would say, well, okay, so then the issue of Yom Kippur came first, right? But no, because basically it was usher from before. As Tosis explains, it's usher because it's eno zavuach. Eno zavuach means it's usher because it's Avrim Menachai. It's not roy to be eaten. So the fact is that there was no Isser of Yom Kippur that was Chal. When you flip it, then the Isser of Eno Zavuach turns into, at this point, Eivor Menachai. So now you make it a novella. So Tosfos says, so you have that brief instant between the moment that it's not alive, when you shecht it improperly, and then it becomes a novella. So that's why he wants to say that the Isser over here would be the in continuing Isser of, well, it wasn't shechted. Something that isn't shechted, even if it isn't a nevela, isn't kosher. Ravina says you don't have to say it's going according to Rabbi Shimon, because there's another way out of this. And that is, the meaning of the pasuk is that it can't have another Isser besides chametz. Doesn't mean that it has to be also because of chametz. So mishi isro mishum bal tochal chametz bilvat. It only has the isser of chametz. Bashenkin over here has got another isser. Yotze zesh ein isro mishum bal tochal chametz bilvat. Yela af mishum bal tochal tevel. Since over here there's another isser involved, so therefore it's not included in the pasuk. Says the Gemara, where does it say in the pasuk anything about bilvat? Excuse me, mide bilvat k'tiv. It says if there's no Isser Chometz. Now, is there an Isser Chometz or is there not? There is. So it's only according to Rabbi Shimon that there's no Isser Chometz because it was already, you're saying, also because of Tevel. So Elamach Vartak and Rav Sheshes, we like the first explanation. It's going a libid Rabbi Shimon. It's not going a libid Rabbanan. Okay, gentlemen, have a wonderful, wonderful week. Hinei El Yeshua Si, Eftach V'lo Efchad.